Namo tassa bhagavado arahado sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavado arahado sammā sambuddhassa. Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Today is the 1st January 1993, the fourth day of our meditation retreat here. We will continue our discourse on practical exercise on Vipassana meditation. I explain you what does Vipassana means. I think you remember the meaning of the word Vipassana. Did I explain you? When? Not yet. Vipassana is a compound word. The first word is a we. The second is the pasana. When pasana is analyzed according to the grammar, Pali grammar, the root of a pasana is this. Sana is a suffix. Deeds means see or know or penetrate. When the suffix pasana is combined with the word the root deeds, then deeds becomes a pas. Then it becomes a pasana. Then pasana means seeing, knowing, penetrating. When we use the word pasana, seeing is not ordinary seeing, seeing into it. So penetrating into the true nature of a Dhamma, that's the pasana. We means various. Yeah, various means various characteristics. Even though here the word various is used, it refers to only three characteristics. That's anicca, dukkha, and anatta. So here we means anicca, dukkha, anatta. Impermanence, suffering, impersonal nature, or no soul, no self nature. So when the two words combined, it becomes a vipassana. Then it means seeing into or penetrating into the three characteristics of mental and physical phenomena. And now another word, vipassana means seeing into or penetrating into the three characteristics, into the impermanence, suffering, impersonal nature of body-mind process. So when you, that's why the Pali scholars translate vipassana into insight, seeing into. So vipassana is translated to insight because the insight knowledge penetrates into the three characteristics, namely impermanence, suffering, and impersonal nature of mental and physical phenomena. Then when you develop this vipassana, it means you try to develop the insight knowledge that penetrates into anicca, dukkha, anatta, impermanence, suffering, and impersonal nature of mental and physical phenomena. Then you come to realize what is the purpose of vipassana meditation. Do you understand what is the purpose of vipassana meditation? What is the purpose of the development of vipassana meditation? Vipassana means insight that penetrates into impermanence, suffering, impersonal nature of a mental and physical phenomena. Then what is the purpose of a vipassana meditation? What is the purpose of the development of a vipassana meditation? To what? To purify the mind defilements. Vipassana means the insight that penetrates into the true nature of impermanence, suffering, impersonal nature of mental and physical phenomena. If you have realized the impermanency of any mental process or physical process, you identify that process with a person, a being, an I or a you. Do you identify it? Do you regard this process, which is impermanent, as a person, a being? No, because what we call a person is we take everlasting since we were born on what this person has never died. This person has never disappeared. It's everlasting until now, at least. Then, because it's permanent, we regard it as permanent, so we regard it as a person. When we have realized the impermanency of mental process and physical process, do we regard this dual process of mentality and physicality as a person, a being? No. Why? Because this process is impermanent. What we take for a person, a being, is an everlasting one. From the time we were born, we are everlasting. We have never died until now. That's why we take this embodiment process as a person, a being. And I know you. If we have realized this embodiment process as just a natural process of arising and passing away or impermanent nature, do we regard this mind embodiment process as a person, a being? No. Why? Because we realize its impermanency. It arises and then passes away, so it's impermanent. So it's neither a person nor a being, neither a man nor a woman. Why? Because it's not permanent. It's subject to impermanence. Then, if we take this embodiment process for a person, a being, then we have the idea of a personality, individuality. Then that person has a desire to be rich. Is it right? Yes. That person has a desire to be a president. Is it right? That person has a desire to be pretty. Yes. That person is angry with someone who insult him. This anger, desire, arises depending on the idea of a person, a being. Is it right? Yes. So the idea of a person, a being, is the cause of arising of right desire and anger. Is it right? So desire and anger are two mental states of all mental defilements. They are included in all mental defilements. Is it right? Because if you have desire, your mind gets defiled. If you have anger, your mind defiled with the anger. So they are defilements, mental defilement, kilesas. Kilesas in Pali. This mental defilement beginning with anger and desire arise dependent on the idea of a person, a being. Is it right? Yes. If there's no idea of a person, a being, there won't arise any defilement at all. Is it right? Yes. When we have realized the impermanency of mental process and physical process, do we regard this dual process as a person, a being? Huh? No, because they are impermanent. What we consider a person, a being, is everlasting entity. But here, none of mental process or physical process is everlasting. They are subject to impermanence. We have rightly understood it through our personal experience by means of a mindfulness meditation. Then there's no person, no being. Neither mental process is a person, nor physical process is a being. Is it right? Why? Because these dual processes are impermanent, arising and then very instantly passing away. Then I'll go to the word vipassana. Vipassana means the insight that penetrates into the impermanence, suffering, and impersonal nature of mental and physical process. Do you remember? What does vipassana mean? Vipassana means the insight that penetrates into impermanence, suffering, impersonal nature of bodhi-mind process. If we have realized these three characteristics of a bodily and mental phenomena, do we take this dual process to be a person, a being? No. Then, when we don't have any idea of a person, a being, shall we have mental defilements with us? No. Because mental defilement arises depending on the idea of a person, a being. Now this dual process of a mental and physical phenomena is impermanence, so they are neither a person nor being. neither self, a self. Then, when we have no idea of a person, a being, through realization of impermanent suffering, impersonal nature of a body-mind process by means of a meditation, vipassana meditation, can we have any of mental defilements? No. Because there's no idea of a person being. Then mental defilement is destroyed. Is that? Yes. When mental defilements are destroyed, are there any suffering at all? No. then what is the purpose of a vipassana meditation? Yes. To eliminate the suffering through realization of or through insight knowledge that penetrates into the impermanent suffering, impersonal nature of bodily and mental phenomena. Vipassana meditation to eliminate suffering through realization or through right understanding or through the insight knowledge. But actually, insight knowledge is not enough to destroy the root of all defilement. You have to attain path knowledge also. Magga jnana. Then to cover up the sense episodes of two jnana, magga jnana and vipassana jnana, we use the word of realization. Through realization of three characteristics of mental and physical phenomena. Is it so? What are three characteristics of a mental and physical phenomena? Impermanence, suffering, and then impersonal nature. Then let me ask you a question. New. What does the word vipassana mean? What does the word vipassana mean? Very old one. Insight knowledge that penetrates into impermanent suffering and impersonal nature of a body mind process. You remember? Yes. I explained the word vipassana, the meaning of the word vipassana, because I would like you to rightly understand the purpose of a vipassana meditation. And now I think you have understood. Then what is the purpose of a vipassana meditation? Elimination of suffering through realization of impermanent suffering, impersonal nature of body mind process. No? Yes. Then, to eliminate suffering, what you need is to destroy all mental defilements. Is it right? Yes. Then, to destroy all mental defilement, what do you need? Yes. I'll go down step instead. No, go up. Yes. To eliminate all defilements, you need to destroy the idea of a person, a being. Yes. Because The defilements arise dependent on the idea of a person being a nine or a you. Is it right? So if you want to eliminate mental defilements, what you need is to destroy the idea of what? A person, a being. We call it Sakkaya Ditti, Atta Ditti. The idea of a person, a being, is known as Sakkaya Ditti and Atta Ditti in Pali. Then, to destroy this idea of a person, a being, what do you need? What do you need to do? Make a better? To realize impermanency of a body mind process, or realize three characteristics: impermanence, suffering, and impersonal nature of a body mind process. In another word, to destroy this idea of a person, a being, you need to rightly understand the true nature of a body mind process. Is it right? Yes. Here, the true nature means the three characteristics. You need to rightly understand the true nature of a body-mind process. Here, rightly understanding is known as Samma Ditti. Samma, right, Ditti, seeing, understanding, view. Samma Ditti, right understanding, right view, right seeing. This is Samma Ditti, right understanding, is one of the eight mental factors of a noble path. You follow? This is Samma Ditti, right understanding, is one of the eight factors of a noble path. Makasatya. Then, to rightly understand the true nature of a body-mind process, or to realize the impermanence, suffering, and impersonal nature of a body-mind process, what you need to do? What do you need to do? Where do you find these three characteristics? In the sky, or in the heaven, or in hell? Where do you find these three characteristics? In the mind-body, yes. In the mental process and physical process, you find these three characteristics: impermanence, suffering, and impersonal nature. Then, when you want to rightly understand these three characteristics, what should you do? You should make effort to be mindful of what? Body-mind process. Why should we be mindful of a body-mind process? Because we want to rightly understand three characteristics of a body-mind process. Is it right? Then, when we want to rightly understand these three characteristics of body-mind process, what should we do? to be mindful of a body-mind process. How? How should we be mindful of? Yes. If we realize or rightly understand the impermanent things as impermanent, is it a right view or wrong view? Right view. If we realize impermanent thing as impermanence, it's a right view, right understanding. Why? Because we realize it or we see it as it is. What does right understanding mean? Right understanding means understanding something as it is. Is it right? Yes. Right understanding means understanding something as it is. Then another word. To see things as they really are is right understanding. Is it right? Yes. Then, if we want to see mental process and physical process as they really are, how should we be mindful of them? This how is very much important. How should we be mindful of them? Or how should we observe them? How should we see them? How should we be aware of them? Yes, by noting, how should we note them? You see, some of the Buddhists are mindful of this mental process and physical process, but they combine their preconception about these three characteristics and noting anicca, dukkha, anatta, rupa, anicca, dukkha, anatta, physical process, impermanence, suffering, and no soul, no self. Vedana, anicca, dukkha, anatta. Feeling is impermanent, suffering, no soul, no self nature. Sanya, perception is anicca, dukkha, anatta, no soul, no self nature. Sankhara, mental formations are impermanent, suffering, impersonal nature, no soul, no self. Then consciousness, vijnana khanda, consciousness is impermanent, suffering, no soul, no self nature. In this way, they are mindful of these five aggregates of mental and physical phenomena. That should we do in that way? Should we see mental process and physical process in that way? No? Why? Because we want to see it as it is. We want to see mental process as it is. We want to see physical process as it is. Then what should we do? We should be mindful of mental process and physical process as they really are. This is how, the meaning of how. As they really are. As it is. This is the meaning of how. This meaning described by the Buddha, by the word Yatha Buddha in Pali. Yatha Buddha means as it is. As it is. The Buddha said, Rupam Bhikkhave Yatha Buddham Sammapanyaya Dattava. You have understood it? Huh? No? Why? Yes. Rupam here means physical phenomena or physical process, material phenomena, material process. But some of Pali scholars translate it into form. Rupa is translated into form. It's not very good. Rupa is a material phenomena or material process. Rupam Bhikkhave. Bhikkhave means O Bhikkhus. Yatha Buddha, as it is, Samapanyaya, with right understanding, Dattabha realizes or understood. So the whole sentence is known as you must realize material process as it really is. That's what it means. To see, to realize this material process as it is, you must be mindful of it as it is. You follow? That's why we have to be mindful of when the pain comes, arises pain. We see it as it is. We do not drive it away. Do you want to drive it away? Yes. Why? Aversion to the pain. Yes, sometimes you have aversion to the pain. Sometimes you have attachment to the pain. Yes, you see, in Burma, some of the meditators, especially female meditators, about, say, 1 month, after 1 month's meditation, they have no pain at all. Then they are not able to observe any mental process or physical process attentively. So they want to be attentive. Then what do they? They look for pain. Because if they have a pain, they are very much satisfied because they are able to note it very attentively. Yeah. Then to find it, they sit their two legs underneath their body, folding the two legs and underneath their body. Then their friend comes. Their friend come. Who is it, the friend? Pain. Yes, they are looking for friends. In this way, they can have their friend. They are satisfied with it. Then note it very attentively. They are attached to pain. That's why I said, sometimes you have aversion to the pain, sometimes you are attached to the pain. But in this retreat, none of the meditators None of Meridita is attached to the pain. Eh? Yes. But pain is the key of the door to Nibbana. Pain is the key of the door to Nibbana. That's why the Burmese meditators look for it. They are looking for the key to open the door of Nibbana. So, how can the pain be the key to the door of Nibbana? When you have pain, you observe it very attentively, persistently, by being patient with it. The pain becomes severe, you think. Actually, it's not severe. The more your mind is concentrated on the pain, the more clearly the mind knows it, the more clearly the mind knows its characteristic. What's the characteristic of the pain? It's the unpleasantness. Unpleasant feeling of the pain is perceived more and more by the mind when the concentration becomes deeper and deeper. Then you think the pain becomes severe. Actually, the pain doesn't become severe, but the knowing becomes clearer and sharper, more penetrating. So you think the pain becomes severe, but you are very perseverant meditator. So you observe the pain more and more. Then when the mind's more and more concentrated, becomes more and more concentrated and more deeply concentrated, then the mind penetrates into the center of the pain. Then it knows the pain is the nature of unpleasant feeling. If you come to realize that characteristic of the pain very clearly, you do not identify the pain with yourself. Before you have realized that characteristic of the pain very clearly and penetratingly, you think my leg is very much painful, my back is very much painful. They are a person. Pain is identified as a person. But when the pain when the deeper concentration, the mind penetrates into the center of the pain, then you come to realize the pain is an unpleasant feeling of the natural process. It's neither a person nor a being. Then you do not identify the pain with yourself. You do not take pain to be a person, a being, and I know a you. Then you are not affected by the pain. You are happy with the pain because you realize it. Then when concentration becomes much more deeper, then the pain that the mind come to realize the pain as the one layers of the pain, one waves of the pain arises and then goes away. Then another waves of the pain comes and goes away. Then another waves of the pain goes away, comes and goes away. In this way, you come to realize the pain is not permanent. Many waves of pain comes and goes. Those they are impermanent. Then you do not identify it with yourself. Then you do not have any aversion to it. You are not angry with it. Our meditators very easily get angry with the pain. Because they have not yet rightly understood the true nature of the pain, or the specific characteristic and general characteristic of the pain. Then the Buddha said, what's the impermanence is the suffering. What's the suffering is not suffering is an impersonal nature. So when you see the impermanency of the pain arising in person, away, coming and going, then you see it as a suffering. Then you see it impersonal nature. This is the nature of a feeling or sensation. It's neither a person nor a being. Because you have realized these three characteristics of a painful sensation, then you don't have any mental defilement at that moment. You are neither happy nor unhappy with the pain. You have no desire to be attached to it. You have no ill will against the pain, because the pain doesn't affect you, because you do not identify the pain with yourself. In other words, because you do not take it to be a person, a being, then there won't arise any defilement at all at that moment. Then the defilement has been destroyed. When the defilement has been destroyed, what do you achieve? The cessation of suffering, Nibbana at that moment. Is there any suffering in Nibbana? No. There's no suffering at all in Nibbana. Then, when you have destroyed the defilements, all defilements, by realizing the impermanent suffering and impersonal nature of the painful sensation, then you have reached the state of the cessation of suffering. Is it right? Then the pain is the key to the door of Nibbana. Yes, Nibbana is neither mental process nor physical process, so it's permanent. If Nibbana is a mental process, it's not permanent. If Nibbana is a physical process, it's not permanent. Then the cessation of suffering means the cessation of all mental and physical process. Then, is there any mentality or physicality in Nibbana? No. Then, is Nibbana permanent or impermanent? Permanent. Make a pardon? No, you see, the cessation of all mental and physical process can be attained in this existence. In this existence. So, Nibbana cannot be found out after death. Yes, there is no life in the world. You think there is a life which is everlasting and new. No. Your body, so-called sakhaing, is composed of bodily and mental phenomena. Bodily phenomena is also impermanent. Mental phenomena is also impermanent. Then is there anything everlasting? No. Yes. When you today my talk went astray. Yes, I'll continue. Suppose the Nibbana, the cessation of suffering, can be attained only after death. You need not develop, you need not practice Vipassana meditation. Yes. So, this cessation of suffering, Nibbana, can be attained through rightly understanding of mental and physical phenomenon and their true nature in this existence. So, it's attainable in this existence. If you put enough effort in your practice and devote enough time for your meditation. So, the aim of our Vipassana meditation is to attain the cessation of suffering through rightly understanding of mental and physical phenomena as they really are. That is why we have to observe any mental process or physical process as they really are. In another word, there is no room and mindfulness meditation or Vipassana meditation for preconception, for reasoning, for thinking about, for intellectual, logical, philosophical thinking. Then how can we attain it? How can we practice it? See it as it is, that's all. See any mental process or physical process as it is at the moment of its arising. Then, when we are able to observe any mental states or emotional states attentively, effectively, then the noting mind doesn't have any reaction to the object. You know that? Yes. When we are able to observe any mental process or physical process attentively and effectively, then the noted mind doesn't have any reaction to the object. See, suppose we have anger. Because we don't know, the anger is a mental process which should be observed. Then we stay with it. Sometimes they enjoy it. Then the anger becomes stronger. Then the anger changes into actions, verbal actions, physical action. Then it becomes worse. When we know the anger is one of the mental states or emotional state which must be observed, then we observe it. Anger, 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 as it is. Anger, 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 anger. Gradually, the noted mind becomes more and more powerful because we note it attentively, energetically. Then the anger, the process of the angry mind becomes weak. Then the noted mind, which is more powerful, overwhelms the anger. Then the anger stops. Then the noted mind doesn't react to the anger. It stays with it. It doesn't react to the anger. If the mind reacts to it, the mind also will be get angry. It doesn't react to the anger because it stays with it. It accepts it openly as it is, that's all. So, mindfulness is called non-reactive awareness. Non-reactive awareness. It's necessary not to react to any object. When the mind doesn't react to any object, you will be happy with it. If the mind react to any object, you won't be unhappy with it. There may be some disadvantage. So, not to react to the object, we have to observe it as it is, that's all. Not to react to the object, we have to observe it as it is, or in its true nature. That is mindfulness meditation, which leads you to the cessation of suffering. You believe? Because you believe in this mindfulness meditation, you come to meditate. Is it right? Yes, whether you believe or not, I don't know, I believe in it. So, time's up. May you be rightly understand the theory of Vipassana meditation and the meaning of the word Vipassana. Strive your best and achieve the goal, the cessation of suffering.